Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
On a long and lonesome highway, east of Omaha, listen to the engine moaning out his one old song. Think about the woman, the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do. When you're riding 16 hours, there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like a
Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it! Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, HIAC Talk Radio. I am, of course, the host. You can find me at Folsom County. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. And with me, as always, he likes to giggle a lot, usually in the beginning. By the end, he's angry at me. It is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man, Kala Chico.
Follow me at DanLone83. I'm that mad at you.
You usually are by the end of the
show. Well, because usually you make weird decisions in life.
And the other cackling,
like hosting a podcast with us.
And the other cackling hyena over there is, of course, our MMA wrestling analyst, Omega Squad, Chris Green.
Greetings, people. Follow me at Omega Squad.
Oh, boy. It was...
Really? Is that it?
Yeah, it's Omega Squad.
Omega Squad, no kidding.
Now, we had a...
DanLone83? I wasn't sure.
It was a great weekend. Of course, On Point Wrestling was this weekend. The return show in the Proving Grounds, Deptford, New Jersey. We're going to go over that in a little bit. Drew Bledd's actually calling in to discuss that. So...
he's such a nice person.
Well, Drew is, I like Drew. I do. We have a saint. We think a lot alike. We have a lot of the
That's same, true.
We have a lot of the same opinions.
You're both buddies with, what's his name?
With who?
Fredo.
Oh, well... I'm friends with Fredo. It's actually Fredo Major's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Fredo.
Happy birthday to Fredo Major.
I know, he does. He seems like he's a buddy of his. Mixing it up.
Now, of course, the On Point show started with Matt Tremont making an announcement. For the foreseeable future, how he said it, he will not be competing in any promotion. I wouldn't want to call this a retirement, however.
He's taking a break. I mean, as much as he works, and as hard as he works, you know, sometimes it just gets to you when you work that hard. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, certain rumors and things coming out, and all I have to say is the people that are saying these rumors have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Well, that's the point, of course.
Because, you know, it's not coming from an official steward. It's just usually just people going, hey, blah, 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 I heard this. Calm down before you hear it from the official source. Okay, shut up.
That's right. So he started out the show.
I'll kick you in the nuts, I swear to God.
And it was a very emotional moment between both Trima and Low Life Louie Ramos. Of course, Low Life Louie Ramos, we talked on the pre-show with. He is a legend in Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Won the Suicidal title there. He's
show.
What
was there a pre-show?
Yes, there was a pre-show. Dan.
Oh,
you were napping. It was time for the afternoon nap.
It was time for the fat boy afternoon nap. I wake up going,
Anyway, we talked to him during the pre-show.
I listened though. I knew that.
And but an emotional moment during in the ring, because this was Louis' WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, these guys work and have known each other for years and worked together, and you build up to something that you think is going to happen. You know, the last minute you find out, that's it. It's over.
Done.
And God only knows what that does. Well, God only knows what that did to the man. You know?
Well, as a result, Low Life Louie Ramos did not even wrestle.
Night off.
Well, he had his heart set on wrestling Tremont in that match, and since Tremont was not participating, it became another grudge match between Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez.
Oh, how was that?
One of the casualties, Dan, and I think you'll be happy to hear this, was Captain Dave's table.
Yes! Are you serious?
Captain Dave's table did not make it through the rest of the show.
Awesome, awesome, great news. How about that sign with that logo I don't like?
Well, it's just one. Just tear off that piece if you don't like it that much.
I'll do it. I swear to God, I'll go over there and do it.
Yeah, you're the floor manager.
That's right. Okay.
Assert your authority, Dan.
You know what? I can pretty much control. I made sure, you know, your fiance had a chair.
Yeah,
I made sure the tables were straight.
You weren't watching that side door too closely.
Waka waka waka. Waka waka waka. Well, you know, I thought I trusted you.
Well,
you know.
I gave you no indication. Fairly enough, I did.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
Any indication that.
And believe me, I've brought my concerns to the board.
Yeah, because I'm sure during the summer that big overhead door won't be open, Dan.
It has to be, or we're all going to cook.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm sure the overhead
door... Wait a minute, that doesn't have air conditioner?
No comment, Dan.
I quit.
You sweat when it's like 30 degrees out.
Did you see me running around out there last month? I was sweating like I was running a marathon. I didn't run around. Come on. It's 60 degrees. If I eat an apple, if I eat an apple or like get some ice cream, I still sweat. Oh, so tired. I ate.
Now, anyway, the result.
Somebody
of the
get
show.
Me a drink. I'm so tired of lifting my arm.
All right, get off the stage, okay, Gonzo? Jeez, my goodness.
Let me bring me my chicken.
Just one after another. When's Carmilla up there with him? I was going with the Gonzo thing.
I got it. I was letting you have your, you know, one funny joke of the night.
No, I have a few tonight, my friend. Now, here are the results. Amasis won the Fantastic Four-Away, and he outlasted Oz, Celestial, and Latin Dragon. And he pinned Oz after the 450 splash. Anthony Graves and Casey Pinham defeated Joe Gacy and Nathan Avery when Graves pinned Avery. Gacy was neutralized a little bit earlier on. This is no indication of Gacy's skills in the ring.
Certainly not.
Yes.
As long as he's attacking somebody from behind, all good.
Now, Robbie Moreno pinned David Starr, successfully defending the CZW tag title and his cruiserweight title that he put on the line before the match. And, Dan, I think you would enjoy this moment, because I certainly did. Mm. After the match, Robbie Moreno slapped the taste out of Master Official G's mouth.
Yeah!
Yes.
I mean, no.
It was a long time coming, and somebody finally...
I told him to do that for ripping a hole in my shirt. Just smack him. Smack a $25 tape right out of his mouth.
Now, Anthony Cortez Haynes, he believes he's God. He defeated the machine, Sam Shields. The match of the night, in my understanding, well, at least from what I saw, was Pinky Sanchez and Delirious. They were defeated by highly entertaining wrestlers. Of course, that's Drew Blood and Xavier Cross with Loudy. When Blood pinned Sanchez after a low blow.
Sanchez is still... Well, see, he cheated, of course. And Sanchez seems like one of those guys I wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley and go, hey. It just sounds like the reaction would not be good.
You know what? There were a lot of luminaries from the New York area. Homicide was there, of course, former TNA superstar. Checking out the action. Of course, the aforementioned... Delirious from Ring of Honor. And I had the pleasure of being the guy ringing the bell that set off Delirious. If you haven't seen his, how he goes crazy once the bell rings. Doesn't like the bell, apparently.
You're probably the only one that knows how to ring the bell correctly in that building.
Well, I did. I was in dereliction of my duties for the second half of the show, but I do know what happened. Mike Drastic defeated Shane Strickland.
Why were you derelict from...
It's a long story. Monster... Did you see the pictures of O-Dog and I?
Yes, sir. Were you...
Enough said, my friend.
Yes, you... Let me tell you something. O-Dog is a bad influence, and I know... I know firsthand how that ends. Hey, dog, come over here, let's have a... What's your name?
Anyway, Monster Mac did defeat Good News Hughes, friend of the show. Leon St. Giovanni defeated Devin Moore with some hijinks there. And the main event was changed to Pinky Sanchez versus Drew Blood, as I mentioned earlier. And Drew Blood picking up two wins on the night. He defeated Pinky with a schoolboy roll-up to win the main event.
Well, this time he didn't low blow, and that's cute.
Not this time, but let's just say the violence could barely be contained. Now, that's two events in a row at the Proving Grounds where the violence was just on a scale that I haven't really seen before.
That building is barely standing after the last 2 weeks, probably literally.
It's a good thing, too, Dan, because, the next event will be June 15th. And, of course, June 15th, we're going to find out later because you have some type of file. You have something.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What? I haven't heard it either.
How about you play it, Dan?
No, I was told to wait for a certain moment.
A certain moment. That's great.
Play button right here.
You had something to say, Omega? You're back there grinning ear to ear.
No, I'm staying out of it. I'm just wondering when the moment is.
It's Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
Mommy and Daddy. Guys, please stop.
Listen, we're also both employed, no secret, by New Moon Rising, and I was given an order, and I'm going to follow that order.
Now, who gave you this order? You had to get the file from somewhere. What was the email address you got it from, Dan?
It was a blocked email address.
A blocked email address.
Right, yeah.
So it was one of those things that just said from...
I didn't see it. I actually got it yesterday, but it was in my spam folder.
So you had to dig through it. You found it.
Well, no, I always check my spam folder to make sure I don't miss any porn email because I like looking through them. And I saw that one. Please open immediately. And you know you always open those emails.
Absolutely.
But it was spelled right. Usually if it says please open immediate, you don't open those.
No, not at all.
It's usually the, you know, Prince of India who's trying to send you $50 million. Do you know I'm like rich four times over?
I am too, Dan.
All right, dude, we should just invest in New Moon or something. Buy that other company and fire the other two.
Well, no, the last time I talked to the Nigerian Nightmares, I was trying to figure out if they knew who these princes were, but I couldn't get any further information.
Talking to them is like, is there like a bell over there? What's going on?
It's never mind, Dan.
Gotcha. I have that same problem sometimes. Yeah, well, getting information out of them, is, unless you're talking about something specific, is like, you know, getting Michael Jackson to admit that he touched kids.
Wait, what?
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 Getting who to, what?
Michael Jackson to admit that he touched children.
What is wrong with you, Dan? I drift off for a minute here.
Well, tell the cat to stop playing with that bell.
And before you know it, you're talking about Michael Jackson. What the hell does Michael Jackson have to do with the world of professional wrestling? Explain yourself.
That was a very good analogy.
I'm sure it was, Dan.
It was. Getting information out of... It's like the ghetto and Justin America and poop on Velcro.
I'm telling you. I can't follow you sometimes.
Flame and fire.
Flame and fire.
Shut up, Chris!
Flaming fire!
I can't wait to press this fly guy.
Well, that was David DeCook. Talking about the Centralia Impact.
There's a very intelligent man talking a very serious problem, and here comes Dan Law with the comment about flaming fire.
Flaming fire, Dan?
Yes, it was sarcasm about the flaming tap water. Flaming fire. Flaming
love
tap water. Come on.
Is a burning thing.
Yes, flaming fire. Another one.
Do I hit that button now, Dan?
No, let him sit on that one.
Okay.
Fine, let me sit on it, Dan.
Hey, sit on it.
It's okay.
You got something you can sit on. Anyway, so that was the world of On Point Wrestling, and we'll go more in detail once Drew Blood joins us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Now, guys, I want to talk about Mike McGillicuddy. That's what I want to talk about right now.
No headache?
Who?
Curtis Axel.
Who? Curtis Axel.
Now, Curtis Axel, he's getting this push. What's going on? Omega, your thoughts about this, and then we'll go to Dan.
Well, I mean, as a longtime fan of Mr. Perfect, I want to like Curtis Axel. I did pop for the Perfect Plex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like the way that they're booking him right now.
No,
I just can't. You know, why get over on these Smaz finishes over John Cena and Triple H? We know that. You know, it just doesn't. I want to be booked stronger. I want to win something. You know,
it was okay to smack him, but you know, if you have two matches in a row that were just BS endings or a schmaz, as you say. Well, it was a schmaz because Bret Hart was there, by the way. It was in Calgary.
It was Bret Hart night, yes.
It was Bret Hart night, so you had to, you know, big schmaz or whatever you want to do.
Not only that, we'll get back to Curtis Axel in a second, but did you see that Sean and Bret had another rather awkward hug exchanged?
I think, you know what, personally, I think Bret Hart has that Playgirl issue stashed away somewhere. I love you, Sean.
I have no idea where your mind is tonight.
You know what? I've had a bad day.
I guess so.
Well, okay. If you want to be serious about it. Shut up.
That'd be nice.
Didn't they already... We're a credible source of information here. Didn't they already, like, basically kiss and make up without being, you know... sarcastic. I mean, when he came back, was it 2 years ago now? Was it 2010?
Yeah.
When he came back, that was the first time they really have spoken to each other, period. Right? When they, on TV?
Well, they spoke previously that day.
That's what I mean. That was the first time they were in front of people together, other than, you know, this is what we're going to do. Hey, how you doing, Brett?
Yeah.
So I don't understand. Here's my stance on the whole Montreal thing. Who cares?
Agreed.
Brett does. I mean, Brett does.
Brett, get over it.
Well,
we're getting on 20 years here.
Brett is more loved because of it.
I think so.
Yeah, it certainly didn't hurt him. And here's my point. I was on board for it. And after reading his book and watching that, you know, the Wrestling with Shadows documentary for the hundredth time, it's like both parties could have done business a little bit better. You know, 10 years ago, sitting there watching him say, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I would be like blowing my brains out. That would be what the hitman did, to blow his brains out. Totally back behind him, 100%. And I look at it now, I'm like, it is then what it is now. It's just a TV show, man.
Well,
like, I understand. Let me preface by saying I understand the importance of his legacy, of what he's done in wrestling, the time he put in, and the situation he was put in. But neither one of them really did anything to help each other. And it's like, F you, fine, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I mean, part of it, I think, is there's fans, the older fans like us that, you know, actually probably were around, not me, but I was, but were around when the Montreal Screwjob happened. There's a lot of new kids that don't care. Never probably even seen Bret Hart wrestle.
Probably.
You know, so it's just, I don't get the playing up of Bret Hart as much anymore.
Oh, no. That I disagree with. I get the playing out of Bret Hart. Bret Hart was great.
Well, you got the Hall of Fame. I think it's great. I mean, trot him out in Calgary makes sense. Okay, cool. But, I mean, is it – why are we even talking about, you know, Shawn Michaels and –
My point was, the longer they dwell on this, the more it seems manufactured.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm getting to.
That's what I, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like we get it.
Yeah, but I think.
Go ahead.
I think we had closure 2 or 3 years ago.
Right, that's what I mean. It's over. Let's move on now. You got Vince. You know, did the job for you where you stood in the ring and pummeled him for. Am I wrong?
No.
Are you watching that match? I mean, literally, there's several times watching back where, I mean, Brett punched him. And Vince probably let him punch him. Like, I owe you this one. Boom. I owe you this one. Stomp to the nuts. I owe you that one. Everybody has done their part. You know, Bret Hart suffered both, unfortunately, character-wise. The Hitman character died. And unfortunately, physically, after leaving the company, he didn't get any better, and then he had that unfortunate stroke. And just WCW, just... The only good thing was the El Dandy interview.
Oh, that was a highlight of...
Oh, my God, I love it! What about Hypnosis? El Dandy, he's a jam-up guy.
Is it jam-up? I always forget what he called him, jam-up.
He's a jam-up guy.
Yeah, jam-up.
He had that program with Sting, which could have gone months, but then, you know, Sting, you know, I found Jesus, I have to leave.
Well, Dan, it's time to move on because we have our first guest.
The not New Moon Rising champion?
He is the New Moon Rising champion. Until something else is said, that's what I believe, that's what you should believe, that's what everybody should believe. Because the Dean of Credibility believes it.
There's reasons.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I changed my mind. I've seen the light because Dean said it.
Thank you.
No problem.
I'm glad.
Keep him.
But we're
going
to get on the chainsaw, Joe Gacy, right after this.
And I'm going to look back at him and whisper, no.
Come on.
right, he is the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Champion of the World. It is Chainsaw Joe Gacy. And Joe, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Dean?
I am doing great. You're also, of course, with Dan, who is a doubter. He's a doubter, Joe.
Did he just sigh?
He did, rather loudly.
I sighed because of Dean, not because of you, sir. Please don't hit me.
I'm sure serious. That's the reason.
And, of course, Omega Squad.
Hi, I'm Dean. I'm going to hide behind Joe Gacy now.
I'm not hiding behind anybody.
I'm going to hide behind lots of distance.
I'm going to hide behind the hitman before he blows his brain out.
That's right, yes.
Now, anyway, I'm going to talk about Sideshow Pro. It's making its comeback.
Finally.
I can't wait for it, Joe. What do you know about Sideshow Pro?
Well, I will be straight up and honest. A lot of things are being changed. A lot of things are being worked around. I actually used to kind of have a stake in some of the management position, as we talked about before, but dealing with some of the things I have now, I have a little bit too much on my plate. So, like, pretty much there's kind of a, what would you call it? I guess like a board of directors, so to speak, or a panel.
No, we don't need any more board of directors, but go ahead.
Yeah, there's more of a panel of management that I have nothing to do with anymore. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
It's just a little bit more taken out of my hand.
So wait a second. You're just talent at this point?
Yes, sort of.
Wow.
That actually sucks.
That does suck a little bit.
That does suck a lot.
Well, regardless, you're on the show and in the main event. This is the only match that's been out so far, but it's a grudge it's been going on for a while, since at least last October, at the last Sideshow Pro show. It's you and Anthony Graves.
Yeah, ever since Anthony Graves decided to chase me out of the building trying to bite me or whatever he does. And it pretty much continued last Saturday at On Point Wrestling when he continued to try to do that. And, well, you know, pretty much he has something coming to him, and I guess I will see him July 27th and deal with that.
Now, this is July 27th, like you said. It's at the Proving Grounds. So there's that's 1030 Delsey Drive in Deptford, New Jersey, for anyone who's interested.
X25A295.
Now, how did this come about that you're running out of the Proving Grounds? This is becoming like a new mecca for professional wrestling in South Jersey.
Stole my question.
It seems to be that way. I don't know, you know, just the pretty much the mingling of, I guess you could say, talent that has been kind of in and out of New Moon Rising Wrestling, also some of the guys that go down to their school, kind of, you know, crossing paths with the guys that are kind of, you know, running the building, and one thing led to another. Some meetings were held, and, well, now you have Sideshow Pro running its return show out of the New Moon Building, or the Proving Grounds, as it's called.
Yeah, so this is a – I think it's a good opportunity
it's
for
–
go ahead, Dan.
I'm sorry, Dan. It's a good place for, quite frankly, a smaller show to run out of. You got the ring already. You got everything ready, set up, ready made, ready to go, and it's easy to get a show in there. It's a good building, good small building, and
it's really good
I'm
location too, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I always tease, jokingly, but not so jokingly, Exit 25. It's right off 295. It's not far from Philadelphia. Not far from from Center City. Hey. It's right there.
And that other building that Sideshow was running in was such a headache to deal with.
I enjoyed walking around and sinking into the ground. You didn't have to worry about putting up mats there because everything was a mat.
That sounds like fun.
It was.
You
know what? I was at the last show. Slim Burgundy happened to be there, and he was getting off of the...
He survived?
Yeah, he was getting off of the bleachers, and he rolled his ankle. Remember when
I
he was walking
that.
Around? Yeah.
That's what happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
He went right into this, like, pit.
I would have kept that quiet.
Oh, it was funny.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Now, we'll get into New Moon in just a moment, but I want to talk about CZW, Tournament of Death, coming up from Delaware, June 8th. Do you know anything as far as your opponent at this point?
Well, you know, it's kind of a weird situation, to be honest. Nothing's been talked about yet. I mean, obviously me and Matt Tremont were both in the same building at On Point Wrestling, and when he made his announcement, that was the first I was hearing of it, as well as everybody else. And, you know, we were given the rule that we weren't allowed to touch each other. I don't know if that rule was made because of whatever, you know, health problems Matt's dealing with. To be honest, I don't really know what's going on. But all I know is, look, the situation between me and Matt, as far as I was concerned, was over when I beat him at WrestleCon. He was the one that wanted to keep running his mouth and trying to come after me. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I really don't think I should have to deal with him anymore. And, you know, it's unfortunate if the guy has some health problems, but, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done with the situation. I mean, if he wants to prolong it, then I'll gladly beat the crap out of him once again, but... You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the Tournament of Death. I don't know if he's cleared. I don't know what the situation is. But, you know, in a nutshell, if he's there, I'll beat him. If not, then, you know, I'm done with it.
Joe, do you look at it as a an easy spot to take now? It's like, all right, well, he's not in my way. Boom, here I come.
Well, I mean, honestly, it should have been my spot already. You know, I beat him at WrestleCon. I beat Matt Tremont. There shouldn't have been any question about it. I beat him, and he wanted to keep, you know, running his mouth about it, and then the last couple times I was out there with him, I'm pretty sure I left him laying.
Well, that did happen.
Very good point, actually.
at the CZW Proving Grounds, that's, of course, where he's talking, where you hit Matt with the chair, and then to follow it up, for good measure, the barbed wire chair.
Yep.
So... Yeah, I'm telling you. So in your mind, it's over, but you're still going. You're still in the Tournament of Death. Now, do you look at this as kind of like a stepping stone?
Well, you know what? I've always been at Tournament of Death. I've competed in matches at Tournament of Death. And to be honest, I've always looked from afar and wondered if I could actually enter the tournament, you know, win the trophy myself, to, you know, be added to the grace of CZW that's walked away with Tournament of Death trophy. Like, why not? You know, I figure it's my time. Matt Tremont took away my heavyweight championship. What better way than to get back into the graces of the championship than to walk away with the Tournament of Death trophy?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So now, New Moon Rising Wrestling, of course, there's some controversy. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Dan is holding this file over my head. I just want to say one thing. Next show, who are you going to defend the title against?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
I'm not defending the title.
I mean, I said before, I'll walk out there with my championship, you know, around my waist. And whoever the management wants to send to the ring, that's on them. It doesn't really matter who it is, because I'm going to walk out of the building with the belt. I said it once,
right.
I'll say it again. That belt is the reason I came to New Moon Wrestling, and I don't care who's in my way. I'm going to take them down and put them out to make sure that I leave with that belt.
All right, and I'm going to preface this by saying I've had orders not to listen to this. I don't know what's contained on this audio clip, but I was given this audio clip to play on the show tonight, and we don't know what's on it, so we're going to play it now and find out what this announcement is from New Moon. So.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Donald Warren. I'm the voice of the board of directors for New Moon Rising Wrestling. As many of you may know, at our last show, Reign of Fire, New Moon Rising Wrestling heavyweight champion Tank Tolan was viciously attacked by Chainsaw Joe Gacy. Now, with that being said, the board of directors has decided the only course of action would be to declare the New Moon Rising Wrestling heavyweight championship vacant. At June 15th, at our next show, Heat Wave, New Moon Rising Wrestling will hold a heavyweight championship tournament. This tournament will consist of 16 participants. Now, while the matches will be random, the participants have already been named. These are the following participants that will compete in the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Championship Tournament on June 15th at Heatwave. Matt Sydal, LJ Cruz, Nathan Avery, Crazy Ivan, King Blackie, Ty Reno, Steve Zapp, Mike Reed, Xavier Cross, O-Dog, Drew Blood, Justin America, Damian Adams, Mark Angel, Kakoa, and last competitor in the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Championship Tournament will be Chainsaw Joe Gacy. Last month, when Joe Gacy attacked Tank Tolan, he said he did it because he wanted to be at the top of the mountain. He came to claim what was rightfully his. Well, here at New Moon Rising Wrestling, you have to earn your keep. And here's your chance. June 15th, Heatwave. Be there.
Whoa.
Well.
Wow.
There's no chance, huh?
I'd say that's pretty definitive.
Joe, what do you have to say about that? Because frankly, Tank Tolan was left laying. We have the belt in our possession.
New Moon Wrestling can create the facade they want. They can hide behind their rules. They can make any match they want. The bottom line is that heavyweight championship is in my possession. There's no way they're going to pry the belt from my fingers. And if they want to call this a tournament, or if they want to call this a recrowning of the champion, the vacant title, well, you know what? To be honest, it's only going to hurt them, considering if there's 16 men mathematically, that's going to make it four rounds, am I correct on that? Maybe four rounds or so of a championship tournament.
Yeah.
Depending on how they do it. Whoever they put me in the ring with, they have to realize is not going to make it out of that building alive. And if they want to do that four times in a row, well, they're only going to hurt their own business by hurting their roster.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I saw what you did to Tank Tolan. I don't know what they're thinking. Doesn't make sense to me.
That was the man who was on top of the mountain. If I did that to a man who is supposed to be at the top of the mountain, what am I going to do to whoever they put me in the ring with?
Let's just play a little game here. Let's say first round, you and King Blackie. What would you do to King Blackie? Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure who that is. I think I've seen him. But, it'd probably take me 2 seconds to break his face.
Okay, how about Steve Zaff? Steve Zaff.
1 second.
Steve Zaff.
I answered, Joe. 1 second.
What's that?
1 second, Joe. Trust me.
Yeah, if it took you 2 seconds for Blackie, it'd be 1 second.
Steve, calm down.
Now, I don't know. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with it at all.
Well, you know what I don't agree with? How you got off scot-free.
What are you talking about?
Dean, I'm talking to you, Dean. I'm not talking to Joe like that. I'm not an idiot.
What are you talking about? Me, scot-free. I'm a commentator, Dan. I stay at the booth and, you know, I talk with Brady about stuff.
You stay in the booth?
Never mind.
I thought I saw a rather tall individual standing in the ring.
Chris, you and Dean, you finish this interview with Joe. I'm going to go before I say something stupid and get my ass kicked.
Well, have a good night, Dan.
Now, Joe, after you're done.
Okay, but Joe, I do want to touch on Tournament of Death again.
All right.
Now, are you going to be in that? Do you think they're still going to have the stipulation that you and Tremont were going to have the ultraviolet dog collar match? Or
I'm not sure. And I mean, like I said, nothing has been officially made yet, so I'm not even sure if Matt's out or not. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. They haven't told me anything. I'm actually about to go have a meeting to find out what's going on. Some of the officials requested my presence.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to go see what that's about, I guess. And I'm not sure what's going on. Hopefully I'll find out. But like I said, it doesn't matter because if Matt's there, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. If Matt's not there, it's not really going to change anything because I want the Tournament of Death trophy. This is my first Tournament of Death, my first tournament in CZW. And I don't think, you know, like in the past, I've been in some ultraviolent altercations. I've done Tangled Web. I've done Fans Bring the Weapons a few times. But I don't think the CZW faithful has really seen what I can do when I'm pushed against the wall and the pressure is put on me and I have the opportunity to win a trophy.
Okay. I did want to touch on that promotion that you are a champion of up in New York. Tell me a little bit about that promotion and what you're doing there.
Oh, Binghamton, New York. I won their tournament for to crown their first heavyweight champion. It's called Excite Wrestling. Me and a few guys have actually band together representing Sideshow Pro up there. In the tournament, I actually beat, in the first round, I beat Truck Taylor.
Wow.
In the second round, I beat, what was his name? Some kid from Binghamton, Luke something.
Okay.
In the finals, it was for the title, four-way, turned out to be me, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, and Shane Strickland. And
wow.
I won that one as well. And not only did I walk out with the title, but me, Alex Payne, Niles Young, and Kimberly left the whole roster of Excite laid on their back.
Hmm. Now that's quite a faction.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that quite personally. So you're the champion there. You're also you're also the king of Hanover, if I'm not mistaken, over in GBW.
Sure am. Yep, I'm the king of Binghamton, I'm the king of Hanover, and I'm the king of Deptford.
I agree with that. I agree with that. So, Joe, I mean, you have a lot of things going on now. How did you win the king of Hanover? I know this has been a while, but...
Well, actually, this might be two things, because I won the Battle of Hanover, which was a tournament for their for Battle of Hanover tournament they have, you know, annually. But their GBW's last show, I actually beat their champion Jimmy Starrs and won their heavyweight championship as well.
That's a lot of belts. You have a lot of belts in here.
That's right. I got a lot of gold. I got some belts and trophies.
Mm. And one more after June 8th and June 15th, of course, from the Proving Grounds, you're going to have yet another. One last question. Yeah,
sure.
One last question about Sideshow Pro. Now, the last show, there were four important matches. Are we going to continue with that, or you're not sure as of yet?
Well, as far as I'm told, the important matches were originally made to qualify for a tournament to crown Sideshow Pro's first heavyweight champion. Now, some people from the roster have parted ways with Sideshow Pro, but as far as I know, the people that are still qualified for the tournament are me, Anthony Graves, Alex Payne, and Niles Young.
Yeah, Niles. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Niles.
So we are the ones that are qualified right now. I'm not sure when this tournament's being held yet, but should be coming soon. The return's coming, so probably the crowning of a Sideshow Pro champion, which I will gladly take and add to my collection.
Yeah, definitely. So, Joe, I want to thank you for your time. Get on to that meeting. I'm sure it's an important one. Keep us posted, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sir. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, no problem. That was Joe, and we'll be right back after this.
And I'm going to look back at him and whisper, no.
right, so that was Joe Gacy, a lot of gold in his closet. And you know what, quite frankly, tournament, no tournament, he'll have another piece of gold.
Is he gone?
Yes, he's gone, Dan.
I got good timing.
Yeah, it's amazing how that worked. Now,
you know, it's telepathic, really.
Telepathic, but...
Shut up, Dean.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Dan, your thoughts on Joe Gacy being stripped of the title that he so rightfully won.
Was he technically stripped if he wasn't technically the champion? Like, will it go on the record books that he was even the champ?
I mean, technically it was Tank that was stripped, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Tank.
Yeah, technically it was, because the last man to win a match to win the title was
Joe Gacy.
Tank Tolan!
Where's Tank Tolan right now?
I don't know.
Is he coming back June 15th?
I have no idea.
No, he's not.
How do you know? How do you know?
He will not be there, Dan. Health condition. Won't be there. Okay? Okay, Dan? Won't be there. But
don't
Omega...
get mad at me because you have friggin' issues with Tank Tolan.
Anyway, Omega, I think it's time that we talk about UFC 160. Over the weekend, this Saturday from MGM Grand, it was UFC 160, and I'll tell you what, the first fight was a lot like the second fight. Cain Velasquez slaying Bigfoot, this time in quicker fashion.
Yeah, just not quite as bloody.
Yeah.
It went exactly like I thought it was going to go. You know, Velasquez just was the better fighter, quicker, faster, stronger. Just puts Bigfoot down with a punch, and it's just lights out from there.
That was one hell of a punch from Velasquez. Just caught him flush on the chin, and you have to look at Bigfoot at this time, Bigfoot Silva, and he has a very questionable jaw.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think, I'm firmly on the side of Bigfoot Silva being overrated. I've mentioned it many times.
You're on the side of Bigfoot?
I'm on the side. But
side.
Gotcha.
I wish I was the size of Bigfoot. Except maybe if long as I didn't have the Easter Island head.
And I
don't really want that. but Silva just doesn't... Yeah, he seems to kind of crumble under the guys that are really, really good. He's done well against guys that have taken him for granted or guys that are kind of on the downslope of their careers.
Yeah.
As he gets up into these, you know, he's fought Cain twice. I mean, that's, let's face it, he's the guy. And if you're gonna be the champion someday, you're going to have to beat the guy. And be it Jared Junior Dos Santos, be it Cain Velasquez currently. You know, I think he's kind of proven now that he's not really got that elite-level competition thing handled. He needs to I don't know what he can do from here. You know, where does he go from here other than being, kind of a gatekeeper heavyweight?
Well, yeah, I mean, you had one shot without the title on the line at Cain, and then you had the second with the title on the line. You really there's not much more, like you said. That, I mean, it's going to take him a real long time to get back into contendership, especially after such a decisive. I mean, we're talking 1 minute, 21 seconds into the first, and it's over.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, what's he's had two shots at it. You know, what else can be said about it? I mean, at some point, you just got to say you don't have it. Now, he's definitely going to have to wait until... At best, wait until Cain Velasquez loses the title.
Oh, certainly.
At best. I think that would be highly optimistic given that performance. You know, I think if we see him come back and win a few, and we'll see where the conversation goes. If Velasquez does lose, I mean, he hasn't fought. There's still high level heavyweight fighters that he can fight. So he's got fights. He's got a job. You've seen him knock people out. He's a big, tall guy. He's impressive to see in the cage.
Yeah,
he has a job.
Yeah,
and I don't think there's no shame in losing to Cain Velasquez.
Now, there was no shame for Mark Hunt. He certainly fought an impressive fight, I thought, showed a lot of heart, took a lot of punches, but he did finally fall in the third round. 4 minutes, 18 seconds into the third round, he was KO'd with a spinning heel kick, something we don't see out of Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah, and apparently heavyweights are tossing around spinning kicks and things now. I mean, everybody's doing the spinning kicks now. I don't know. It's weird. Hunt, you know, we said it last week in the preview. Dude can just take a punch. He took a horrible punch in the first round from Junior Santos. The right hand of was just devastating that anybody else would have been knocked silly from. And he managed to absorb it and come back and recover. You know, Hunt is just a tough, tough dude all the way. You know, but full credit to Dos Santos, this was the performance kind of statement that he wanted to make to really say, look, I want Cain Velasquez, and let's make that happen. I mean, we are the two best fighters in the heavyweight division. We are the two guys at the top. One more time for the rubber match. Let's see it. I think it's going to be a great fight all the way.
And it's easily one of the most marketable in the heavyweight division that you can think of. Frank Mir, of course, is looked at as a gatekeeper now. Silva has been, gatekeeper status as well. Really, Josh Barnett is an attraction, nothing more.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only one you're looking at heavyweight that you really can say maybe is Daniel Cormier. And he's pretty much made it known he wants to drop down to 205 and fight John Jones.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting his body down to that size. I think that's a good move for him. If he can make 205, he should be there. There's two guys in heavyweight right now.
Yeah.
And so the question becomes after that, one of these guys is going to be two wins over one. I don't think we're going to see a fourth fight out of it. Certainly not soon. So it's going to be interesting to see in a few months where the heavyweight division goes from here.
Yeah, and there's not Strikeforce. There's not a bunch of other stuff going around. So it's hard to say.
So how many companies are now in the mainstream? Well, not mainstream. How many companies are on the national level?
Really?
In MMA now? Just UFC?
Really just UFC. I mean, Axis TV shows a lot of the regionals, which is good for the regional promotions, but
the only second one you would say is Bellator, because they are on Spike TV, but they just do not have the exposure. They do not have the name value. They're certainly a good company. They certainly have a lot of talent on their roster, but
right.
As far as competing with UFC, I mean, no, not even close. I mean, it's very much reminiscent of the WWE TNA kind of dynamic.
No,
I would even say WWE Ring of Honor type of dynamic. But go ahead, Dan.
What's this World Extreme Cage Fighting or whatever I see? Is that reruns or is that a new?
That's reruns.
WEC or something?
Yeah, WEC was bought by UFC, the parent company of UFC, about 3 years ago now? Probably.
Yeah, it's been
and they're still rerunning that. Okay,
yeah.
Well, there were a lot of good fights.
I was sitting there. I caught a rerun at like 1 o'clock last weekend. I was watching it or something early. I was watching it.
That's where a lot of the lower weight classes came from for UFC. When they bought it out, it ran for a while on its own, and then
the crowds don't look that bad.
Oh God, no!
I know, it was a great promotion. I loved WEC. It was awesome.
Yeah, Locked in the Cage drew easily 1,000 to 1,200, and that's just a small regional. So
that's,
yeah,
that's pretty good, man.
Oh yeah, especially when you're talking independent wrestling, and you know, 250 is a good house for independent wrestling.
50 is an excellent house.
Yeah.
When's the next Locked in a Cage, real quick? Do you know?
I think in October. I haven't had anything official sent my way.
Cool. Gotcha.
But
sorry, gentlemen. Continue.
October 5th. Now, light heavyweight, Glover Teixeira, James Tahuna. Looks like Teixeira might be on his way to a title fight, maybe?
Yeah, pretty close. You know, the problem is he's got a lot of guys in front of him. Teixeira looks... looked fantastic, looked really good over James Tahuna, you know, showing the kind of submission skills that he has. I mean, and you know, I think last week we talked about Tahuna's best chance was keeping on the feet. Well, Glover Teixeira put him in a guillotine from a standing position. So that didn't work out so well. But, yeah, Glover looked really good. Looked really strong, really powerful. You know, his problem is he's in that light heavyweight division, and that thing is so stacked right now. We've talked about how Chael Sonnen has just totally destroyed the lineup in this division. So you sit there and you say, okay, if you look at the UFC rankings, Lyoto Machida, Alexander Gustafsson, Dan Henderson, probably ahead of him.
Yeah.
In terms of getting a title shot against Jon Jones. So,
well,
yeah.
that's really dependent on how Henderson does against Evans. So,
yeah. I mean, Henderson and Evans have the next have that fight coming up. So, Henderson, if he wins, continues, probably keeps his spot. You know, I think it's Lyoto Machida waiting for Jon Jones right now.
Honestly, he's been the closest besides Vitor Belfort almost pulling out a submission victory.
Yeah, no, I really want to see Gustafsson fight Jones, but I think Gustafsson got it, that one cut over his eye he was supposed to fight just recently.
Yeah.
I had to pull out. I think he's going to get a fight soon if he doesn't already have one scheduled. But, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, Teixeira is just going to have to wait, unfortunately. So, but he is a very good fighter. I think he's going to be in the conversation as long as he keeps winning.
Now,
I mean, he's got a ridiculous win streak too. I think it's like 19-0 or something like that, or 20-0.
It's not human, really, what he's done, and simply in the UFC. If you look at his UFC record, now one that I know you were raving about, quite an impressive victory, TJ Grant TKO victory over Ray Menard.
Really impressive fight for TJ Grant. Really coming on strong, really finding his place at lightweight. Looked fantastic. Just dropped Gray Maynard, a guy who's tough to beat, tough to put out, just lays him out quickly. Just very impressive. He made a statement, and I think you kind of said it. We don't really know much about TJ Grant last week. Well, you better know now, because he's coming for Benson Henderson. He's got that, obviously got power in his hands, and he's pretty fast and pretty relentless. I think he's going to give Benson Henderson a really good fight. So I don't think we've seen Henderson fight someone yet that can really strike like that, with the possible exception of Anthony Pettis. And Anthony Pettis won.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I'm sure you were happy with this one because you're a big fan. Donald Cerrone defeated KJ Nunes, unanimous decision, and it was 30-27, 30-27, 30-26. So a pretty decisive victory.
There was really not a doubt in this one as far as the judging was going to go. Cerrone was just fighting a very tactical fight. Throwing lots of variety of strikes, lots of punches, kicks, just keeping Nunes at distance, never allowing Nunes to really get any kind of rhythm going, really nullify Nunes' striking, his boxing, his kicking. It was really just, and that Cerrone then would just take him to the ground. occasionally and just kind of pound him from there. It really was just Cerrone all day long. Looked really good. So now you just talk about Cerrone fighting his way back up the ladder a little bit. Maybe he's got a date with Benson Henderson in the future. Not immediately, obviously, but, you know, with Gray Maynard losing, with Anthony Pettis going down to fight Jose Aldo, you sit there and I'm looking at the UFC lightweight rankings and the obvious fight that pops out to me is Josh Thompson.
Yeah.
For possibly a title eliminator.
Yeah, so. Certainly. Was there anything impressive in the undercard?
You know, there were some pretty good displays of skill during the undercard. I think you can look at Mike Pyle fought a fairly got a controversial win. I thought he probably won the fight, but he was showing some pretty good ground skills in that pickup. One of your favorites to pronounce, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yes,
just looked awesome in that fight. Just dominated his fight, just throwing this guy around like he was a rag doll. Just so strong, just so brutal. You know, combat sambo is no joke. We've seen it with Fedor Emelianenko. You know, Nurmagomedov just taking Alvarado, just throwing him around for three rounds. It was brutal. Looked really, really good. Other than that, you know, I think it was a fairly standard card.
Okay, so that was UFC 160. We still have the champion as Cain Velasquez for the heavyweights. And not too many surprises. I would say it was a very, at least the main card, the pay-per-view card, was very predictable in its outcomes. Perhaps the only real surprise, you know, if you were under a rock like me, was TJ Grant's dominating victory.
Yeah, I would say I'm mild upset with TJ Grant, but I think everybody's going to take notice of him now.
Yeah, definitely. But now it's time to move on. Of course, as we said at the top of the show, Drew Blood did double duty for On Point Wrestling. He wanted to come on and talk about On Point Wrestling, and we're going to get right to him after this music. Joining us for the second week in a row, it is the notorious one, Drew Blood. How are you doing tonight, Drew?
Good, man, guys. Back-to-back weeks. Oh, man.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, now, not too much. You're, of course, with myself, with Dan and Omega. Now, the one thing I wanted to get right out of the gate, so to say, On Point Wrestling returned. How did you feel about the night?
I mean, it was a little sketchy at first, you know. There was quite a few problems, you know. But as always, the show must go on. This card subject to change is always on any given card in wrestling. So, but we made do, and it turned out into one hell of a night. I was happy with the show in itself.
Okay. Dan, go ahead with your question.
Drew, were you going to elaborate? I thought you were going to say something else.
Nah, go ahead, Dan.
All right, cool. For somebody who doesn't know the history, quite frankly, I'll be honest, last week Pinky Sanchez called in and had some not nice things to say. It seemed heated is a word for it. What is the history between you two, and why is it so heated at this point?
Well, it stems back to 2009. he had this little runt of a cousin, Blackie Sanchez. As we all know, it's King Blackie now.
Yeah.
I didn't like the kid at first, so I took it upon myself to make my mark and take him out of the combat zone. Well, obviously, Pinky didn't like that and decided to get my face in the middle of my mean streak and put forth, for the next 3 or 4 months, quite a few good ass whippings that put us on the map for the combat zone.
Yeah.
They were mid-card level when we were getting main event reactions.
Oh, okay.
I mean, is it hate at this point? Because, I mean, I've only heard you get that angry about two people, and the other one we won't mention.
I mean, it's not hate. I mean, I surely I dislike the kid in a sense, you know. But it's more of like an irritated respect.
Yeah.
You know, what I mean, it's like I'm trying to get this kid to, you know, to show a little respect towards me. And, you know, he's got that little cocky attitude and. It's a shame because to me it seems like this feud will never end.
Mm.
Well, that brings me to on point. Now, you guys were involved, of course, highly entertaining wrestlers with Loudy, taking on Pinky Sanchez and Delirious from Ring of Honor. Now, how did you feel about that match? That match when you got through the curtain and you and Xavier were, of course, victorious.
I'll put it this way, like, you know, I've been on shows with Delirious before, and being the strange character he is, you know, being in a ring with him, it's unpredictable, you know. It's like when the bell rang, you can't expect anything less than what he does, is just jump around and babble a bunch of blah, 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 blah. But I'm pretty sure, in my opinion, we held our own well. Once again, Xavier Cross has been impressing me with any challenge that we've been stepping forth with, and he's been pulling his punches and the other half of highly entertaining wrestlers. But like we proved again, mind over matter, you know. It's a little bit of a more psychological win than anything that we got over him. And I got over on Pinky again.
Now, when you go into a show and you know you're going to wrestle at least one match, but then a monkey is thrown into the wrench, and you end up wrestling a completely different match or a second match at the end of the night. Do you bother, like, can you prepare for that, or do you just go into it blindly?
I'm going to be honest with you. This past Saturday, I went in it blindly. I was approached with the match with not even 5 minutes before I went out the curtain.
Oh, wow.
So,
all right, Eric,
everything. Everything you've seen there was it was just on the fly.
Then that's how good you guys are.
But you know, with the history of me being CCW and I've been in that predicaments before, you know, you have to take the bull by the horns and you know, tackle it down. I'm sure that me and Pinky put on a pretty damn good main event, in my opinion, but you know,
no,
it wasn't anywhere up to par to what my opinion where Matt Tremont and Louis would have been.
Now,
do you have
any public comment on Matt? Do you know anything going on? I know you guys are close outside of the ring. Do you know anything at this point?
I mean, in the situation as we speak, it's you know, I'm not going to reveal anything because it's not my place. But it's really upsetting to me because Matt has a huge heart for this business. He's one of the most humble kids that I've ever met in this business. That's why I respect him. And he's highly upset over the fact that, you know, the situation at hand. And he's kind of put in a limbo right now. It's, in my opinion, could be career-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, the kid has other options because he can go other routes, but it's going to kill his heart in a sense. His heart's in what he does.
Yeah.
While we're talking about it, again, if those certain people are within the sound of my voice, don't know what you're talking about, shut up.
Dan's talking about something that was going on Twitter that's neither here nor there, but...
It pisses me off that much, Dean. I'm sorry.
It's
what
fine.
Was going on Twitter? I didn't catch anything.
I'll tell you later, Drew.
Yeah, he'll message you.
I'll message you what was going on.
But anyway, getting back to On Point and
sorry.
Well, it's fine. But getting back to On Point and everything, you have a return date. Now, is it going to be at the Proving Grounds, or at this point, it's kind of up in the air?
That I don't know. That I'm not sure about, because I don't handle that type of I'm not in that category for On Point. I don't handle the shows where they're held. I just come out there and do what I got to do, you know what I mean? I mean, it's been proven the last two shows, I think, that I'm not going to say as it comes to the card, you know, everybody keeps saying about this Mr. On Point, you know, all this stuff, like, you know. But in my opinion, I'm putting myself as the face of On Point Wrestling right now.
Well, I certainly would say after the main event of the first show, Now or Never, where you and Pinky Sanchez literally tore down the house, Pinky flying off of places that other people never even thought of to fly off of, really had a great main event in the first show. Now the second show, you wrestled two matches, so you certainly there's a lot of credence to what you're saying there. You perhaps the next step would you and Leon St. Giovanni possibly. I don't know.
Well, he could beat my tag partner, my notorious tag partner, but you know, there's a little misunderstanding with that situation.
Yeah.
Don't let Leo St. Giovanni think because he could over on the notorious one, Devin Moore, that he could do that on the notorious Drew Blood. But I was just saying that in circumstances to the fact that, you know, they needed somebody to step up to the plate, and as well as Pinky Sanchez, I'm not taking that as a solo credit. They needed somebody to step up to the plate, and me and Pinky were more than willing to do so, and without no questions asked, we did it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm not sure if you heard, but earlier on this broadcast, you're actually entered into the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Championship Tournament. The title is vacant as we speak, and you and actually Xavier Cross both have a shot at New Moon Rising Wrestling Gold. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a little shocked about that because, you know, me and Xavier Cross are, in my opinion, one of the top tag teams in New Moon Wrestling, or at least one of the top entertaining tag teams in New Moon Wrestling. but, you know, to get a chance to be, we had a chance to be a title before singles in that PG-13 Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
But this is totally different, and I'm hearing rumors. I don't know how bad these rumors are, but, you know, there's a rumor going around that it may be me and Xavier Cross in one of the first round matchups. I don't know how true that is.
Well, they're completely random, so who knows? These matches are completely random.
I mean, I heard a little rumor. I mean, it's a little chirper, but I don't know how true that is. And I don't know how that's going to be handled in a situation, but I'm not looking at that right now. I'm looking at the fact that I got a spot in a heavyweight title championship. And, you know, singles titles are not a stranger to me. But, I think I have a chance to, you know, with some of the competitors in this, I think I have a chance to, you know, go ahead and, you know, take crown president and become the new Moon champion.
I'll spin my question like this, since you already touched upon it. It's the world title. I mean, would you literally go through Xavier Cross to get the title?
Well, without causing any distress in the spine of HEW, I will do whatever it takes.
Gotcha.
As a top player in a company.
There you go. Now,
you really need to say no better than that, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Drew, is there anything else you wanted to touch upon?
The situation with Matt Tremont is it's buzzing around the business right now.
No kid.
What the situation is, I don't know. I haven't seen anything. I have talked to Matt, and Matt hasn't been on the social media recently, which is, you know, a little awkward because, you know, Matt likes to see what he likes to hear from his fans and see what's going on. But he's really at a loss for what's going on right now. Like I said, I'm not going to disclose the situation. I don't know what's being said because I haven't seen anything. But it was more than a privilege to do what I had to do to, you know, save face for Tremont at one point. And that's why I did what I did at the main event. You know, I didn't do it for me. You know, I'm an on-point character. I'm the bad guy of the company. And it was more than a privilege to beat Pinky's ass for Matt Tremont anyway. So it's always fun. Thank you both. You know, Matt's my friend.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I'm by 100%, and that's the reason why I did what I did at on-point. With no questions asked, so...
All right.
So I don't want to hear any negative feedback about this kid because it'll really upset me, and I'm sure it'll upset a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before privately that pretty much the same thing you did. You know, there's this character of the bulldozer and it's a very intense character.
Oh, yeah.
And when you actually sit and talk to Matt, the man, completely different. There couldn't be two different parallels. Matt is a guy who will sit there and talk to you about ECW matches for an hour, just shoot the shit with you, just be a great guy behind the curtain. And
nicest guy I ever met backstage.
Never hear him talk about himself.
Yeah, no. And that's true. That's true. That's really one thing. I mean, he doesn't even. Yeah, that's. I couldn't even. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right in that, and even that day, I could tell something was off because I was talking to him before the show, before he made his announcement, and I could tell he was there, but he wasn't there, if you know what I mean. And
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, just best wishes to Matt as he tries to figure out what's going on, because like he said, he really is a great kid.
His heart's bigger than... his ego, which is very minimal. He doesn't have an ego, in my opinion. You know, he has a passion bigger than for this business than anybody I know. You know, and for him to, you know, fall short of a career at this young of a stage, he'll be devastated, and I'd hate to see that.
Yeah, I mean, but even like you said, if it does come to that, there are so many options for a guy like Matt. Whether it's promoting on point, whether it's, I mean, there's so many options for a kid like that. And like you said, sometimes bad things happen to good people, and it really sucks. So hopefully
just in the
something
midst of,
comes
up. Certain situations, he had tournament death coming up.
Yeah.
CW, I know he had a couple tours. Me and him were supposed to be doing some, tournament matches with other companies, like me versus him. We had some.
Didn't he just come back from Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. So.
It was overseas things in the works too. But.
Yeah, I mean, definitely our hearts and our minds go out to a Matt during this time. Hopefully, we can. I did ask him. He said he was still going to come to the shows and stuff because he doesn't have much to do on a Saturday night. But
yeah,
I mean that's what he said. So.
He's not going to disappear. Trust me, he'll be around.
Yeah. So Drew, thanks for coming on and giving us a little more insight into what's going on there and the on-point story.
And hit me up after the show.
All right, I'll do that
whenever you get a chance, sir.
Sounds good.
Thanks. All right, Drew, but. but thank you for coming on, and we'll talk.
You see
real
what
soon.
Happened last week when I got pissed off.
Yeah, I don't want that. But yeah.
Well, I'll talk to you.
Okay, Drew, we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk again real soon.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on again, man.
Oh, no problem.
All right, bye.
I'm gonna shake 'em down, let it flow like a mudslide. Oh, when I get on, I like a ride. This is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well, now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer three outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
Hello, guys. That's it. 私の名前はアキラトーズバです。私はミステリーメンのベースプレイヤーです。 時間も割いて私たちの音楽を地域局で抱きありがとうございます。あなたがそれを楽しんで猫の記憶を私の驚くべき作り入れてシベスの技術宣告を席巻したりでのお名前を買った。でもマイルズ・デイブルス好きです。大好きです。その素晴らしい。
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, and I think you will not find a better bass line than that, really.
My God, that bass line. Oh, man. I can't talk enough about that bass line. I think that's why I like playing that the most.
I mean, if that doesn't get your ass moving one way or the other. Hey, slow down.
I know. He's going by. What the hell?
God. I have a crotch rocket. Good.
Bastards. Son of a people around here, I tell you.
Hey, look, I'm on 130.
Very, 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 very close.
Now,
listen, it's long, okay?
Now, Omega, it is. It really is.
It really is. Yeah. Good luck.
Now, Omega, we got more news to talk about. And one thing, we already had breaking news tonight, so this, I'm not going to play the thing for it. But we got Frank Mir, Josh Barnett, UFC 164.
Just announced. Gotta like it. I like this fight. I really do.
And it's kind of an old school UFC fight.
Yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, do they usually, is that normal to announce matches like that far away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they build these up.
Oh, yeah.
It's months ahead. Okay.
Well, these guys train for 3-4 months for a fight.
I mean, that's three events away, right?
Four events. Well,
four
yeah,
events.
Three. Well,
yeah,
three.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
that's three pay-per-views away.
Gotcha.
So,
I guess you have to do that when it's not fake.
Yeah, so.
Gotcha. Oh, I was just curious. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah, no, I really like this fight. I think, to your point, it's kind of an old-school fight. You got two guys that came up in the not quite the dark ages, but while UFC and MMA was kind of...
Scoffed at,
yeah.
John McCain, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I like Frank Mir has kind of taken on this mantle of being the guy to welcome people either back to UFC or to the UFC.
It seems
to be like if you're in the heavyweight division and you're coming into the UFC, you got to fight Frank Mir. I don't care who you are. You know? So,
yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
So, but I like the fight. I mean, I think you got a guy like Barnett who's a good striker, has got a lot of experience fighting guy in Frank Mir, who was great on the ground, has worked really hard in his boxing, maybe a suspect chin. But that's I think that's a fight they can get behind, they can promote, two name guys. I think everybody wants to see what Barnett can do in the UFC now.
It's a different company. Last time he was there was 2002.
No, exactly. It's a different company. It's a different sport, quite honestly.
Oh yeah.
A big
guy like him could get away with just wrestling back then. Now it's you got to have all the tools.
Absolutely. But I think it's going to be. I don't know who wins that fight. I would lean to probably Frank. A little bit, but I think Barnett would has more than a striker's chance.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it really it should be an interesting fight. Probably a three round. Oh, speaking of three rounds, the main event, Evans and Henderson, is three rounds.
Yeah, because they were training to be on the co-main event.
So they just kept it at a three round main.
Yeah, because it was contracted for three. So
how many minutes of the rounds?
Five minutes.
That's a quick fight, man.
Not really. You'd be surprised because the amateur fights in Pennsylvania, at least, are 3 3-minute rounds. And those are probably the longest 9 minutes of those kids' lives. I'm telling you. And when I say kids, I mean they're 18, 19-year-old kids.
I was going to say, yeah, they're young kids, man.
And, I mean, this is like the longest. People don't get it because you say, oh, they're just laying up. But there's so much going on, especially in a ground game where you're trying to stop a guy from moving and you're trying to move yourself. There's so much going on that people just take for granted.
Yeah. The outside views of certain things, like basketball not being a contact sport, I beg to differ. You know, there's a lot more going on than just a guy punching and blocking.
Oh, yeah.
And laying on the mat and holding him there. There's more going on than you can imagine. Just shut up.
Yeah, what you don't see is when you got two guys that are really good on the ground, really jostling for position. There's a lot of, you know, it looks like they're moving very slowly, but those guys are exerting so much energy, trying to keep each other from getting into whatever position the guy's trying to get into.
More energy than most of the people watching will ever expel in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So shut up.
I've never actually done it. I mean, I did a little bit of wrestling in high school gym class,
but that
tired me out.
That's in the same vein, man. I mean, you guys are going at it for however long the round is. In your mind, it's forever, and you guys are fighting each other off with all the strength you have to not get into the position you want that other person to. You try that and you criticize it.
Yes.
Shut up.
Brady.
Yeah.
Brady,
yeah.
Damn it.
Now,
I'm Hicks here.
Now, speaking of something I found quite surprising, Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner, they're going into the UFC Hall of Fame.
You find that surprising?
I do. Simply because Stephen Bonner, I mean, if you look at his career, what is he? He's, what, 13-7, possibly? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 13-10?
Yeah. I don't know what his record is, but yeah, he is a mediocre career.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about this. I think we talked about this when Bonner retired.
I certainly didn't think. He's 15-8. I just looked it up.
Okay.
So he's 15-8. He really never scored a win against anyone that you could consider a contender. He lost to plenty of good guys. I mean, he lost to Silva. I mean, if you get into the Hall of Fame by losing, sure. But, I mean, he didn't even win the Tough Enough. I mean, not Tough Enough. The Ultimate Fighter.
Wrong sport.
I know. But because it's tough. It's TUF, so it always plays with me.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So he didn't even win the Ultimate Fighter finale. So, I mean, this is a guy, like you said, mediocre career, going into the Hall of Fame based on pretty much one fight.
One fight. But it was an important fight.
Well, sure. I mean, it did. What was it? The highest rated? Is it still to this day the highest rated?
No, it's not the highest rated to date. I think it was
for quite some time until the Fox deal.
I'm not even sure it was that. I mean, but it was one of those weird fights that people actually, if you believe the numbers, and I'm not sure, I hear this story a lot. I'm not sure if I believe it, but the numbers got better as the fight went on.
Yeah. So because people were calling their friends and say, hey, are you watching this? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But, you know, it's hard to say that that fight wasn't critical to the UFC's success going forward and certainly where it is today. We're certainly talking about MMA right now because of that fight to at least some degree. It's not the sole factor. I actually thought about this a little bit. You know, is it the Forrest Griffin Stephen Bonner fight, or is it the Ultimate Fighter itself that really propelled MMA forward? You know, and the Ultimate Fighter airing right after WWE Raw.
Yeah.
I think that plays a significant role as well in getting that exposure. You know, it was a decent reality show when it came out.
Not now. Yeah. Well,
now it's kind of,
we'll talk about late. Now. Yeah.
In terms of sheer importance to the sport, I don't have a problem with Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner.
Well, we
getting
about
into the Hall of Fame as a tandem, as a duo, their importance to the sport in that fight, which wasn't even the main event of that fight, of that card, it was that important that they deserve to go into the Hall of Fame for that 15 minutes. That legacy will last long after their careers. Individually, I don't think... Individually, I agree with you. Stephen Bonner is not Hall of Fame worthy on his own. I would argue that Forrest Griffin might not even be Hall of Fame worthy on his own.
I probably wouldn't. And, of course, the main event in that Ultimate Fighter finale, the very first one, was Franklin Shamrock, won by Franklin. And going over Griffin's record, he leaves the sport at 19-7. And his last fight with Tito Ortiz, that's kind of questionable if he even won that. He was a one-time light heavyweight champion, didn't even defend it, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he lost it to...
Yeah, he lost it to Rashad.
Yep, to Evans the next fight.
Yeah, so, I mean, he did win the title. He was impressive in getting there.
He had some good fights. He is a throwback. He's not even a throwback. At the time he was coming up, MMA was still very much in its infancy to adolescence. You could get by with a few things. He wasn't necessarily the most skilled guy, but he had a well-rounded game, and he had enough skill to have success.
I'm looking at his – I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I'm looking at his record, and Dan Severn was his first professional fight.
Yep.
Our friend Dan Severn?
Our friend Dan Severn, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
We should get him on for a UFC segment one time. That would be interesting.
I can write him.
That I would – an expert to hear that.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Back to you.
Other than you, Omega, I apologize.
Well, I wouldn't – I'm okay. He knows – probably forgotten more about it than I have will ever know. But, yeah, but, you know, if you think about his fights, I mean, he didn't have, like, elite skill at any one thing. He was kind of okay at a lot of things. And that worked for a while, up until probably the last 3 to 4 years, when really starting to see guys come in with really elite-level skill, either elite-level jiu-jitsu, striking, that kind of thing. I think nowadays he's kind of been left behind, certainly since in the last 3 or 4 years. I think his flaws have started to show, even though he's got 3 wins in the last 3 years, probably.
Well, he's 3-3. Since 2008.
Yeah.
And, of course, one of those losses, this is what I was saying, you're talking about Anderson Silva is older than Forrest Griffin, or they're about the same age, probably. They both came up together, but Anderson Silva is one of those elite fighters that just is such a step ahead, and that was proven when those two fought. So, I don't know. I just found it odd. I was like, Griffin and Bonner... Hall of Fame. I don't know. That's like Coco Beware in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Like I said, I think it makes sense as a tandem. The fight is probably the most important fight in UFC history.
It's number one if you have their DVD of the 100 best. So
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it necessarily the best fight. It's certainly a great fight.
Well, I think it was number one because of its significance.
Yeah, but the significance is not questioned. I'm okay with him getting in for the significance of that fight. But
I don't know. One fight. I don't know.
Well, you know, there's this... name me another fight that had as much impact on an entire sport. Name me a game that has had as much impact on an entire sport. A single game.
Probably when Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's streak.
Wayne Gretzky winning his 4th Stanley Cup.
Who watches hockey besides
you? I will punch you in the face.
What was hockey popular before that? Was hockey popular after that?
Yeah. The numbers have never been higher since then.
That's questionable, Dan, because then you could
what
go
do you
back
mean
to
it's questionable.
You could go back to USA versus Russia. The miracle team.
I might go with that one. That might be equivalent.
No, because as soon as it was over, that's not even the gold medal game. So exactly.
So that people remember that.
I
don't know crap
just
about hockey.
You don't.
And I know that.
Wait. Let me prove my point, and then I will shut up and let you finish your conversation. And part of the reason why they locked out is because the NHL has never made as much money as it has been making the last 3 or 4 years. And that is part of the reason why they locked out, is because the owners want more of the money. Because it is more popular than it used to be, more people will spend more money. Continue your conversation.
But from a single game to launch an entire sport, a single match to launch an entire sport.
True Blood versus Pinky Sanchez.
True Blood versus, yes. Okay, I stand corrected. Anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, I've seen arguments on both sides, Dean, to say, you know, they don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They do deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I can see both sides. I don't have a problem with either one of them.
It's just odd to me. That's all.
I mean...
That's all I'm saying. Now,
like, was there a fight? And again, this is coming from I'm staying on topic, so don't yell at me yet. Is there a guy that the only guy I would know about, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn? Is there a match that they've ever had that has been that big for the sport?
UFC 5. I'm kidding. That was one of the most boring fights ever and probably turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But those two actually fought in that one. I think it was UFC 5. 4 or 5. But
no, not each other. I mean, was there ever a match those two had against somebody else that the equivalent of
it's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's debatable if the Ultimate Fighter 3 kind of got Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock kind of on the downspin of his career. I mean, they had what was it, a trilogy, Omega?
They had a trilogy, but...
And it was such a one-sided... It just wasn't good. Tito Ortiz is probably one of the more important people because he was, like, the first light heavyweight champion. Well, not the first, but he was the most important. He defended it 5 times, which was unheard of back then. But really, when you look at it, there were 3 guys. It was Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, and... the other guy, Omega, come on.
Couture?
Yeah, Couture. Those 3 guys, and with around the same time, Forrest Griffin and Bonner having this fight, probably propelled it to the next level.
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean, the only other thing I might make an argument for, and I'm stretching here.
Tank Abbott?
No, not Tank Abbott. Oh, yeah.
No, but I will say Brock Lesnar.
Well, true. No, Brock Lesnar, when he crossed over into UFC, he brought a lot of the curious WWE fans.
Yeah.
Now, did they hang in, or has it kind of plateaued or dropped off again?
I think it depends where you're talking. I mean, the United States is probably as popular as it has been. But in a place like Brazil, where soccer and fighting is the two national sports.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most. It's like the World Series to them when they go down there. It's huge when they go to Brazil.
I would say the United States is still growing, as evidenced by the continuing expansion of UFC. The Fox Sports deal is probably probably the crown jewel. Broadcast network TV now, where that was unthinkable 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, no, it's not growing as fast as it used to be. It used to be the worst talent, and it's the fastest growing sport in the world. Probably not anymore. I think there's been a little bit of a plateau off of it, but people are starting to be more accepting of it. We're starting to get younger kids come in and enjoy it, and we've kept the fans that we've had to date. So.
And not that it's on the same level as wrestling, of course, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way towards either of the companies I'm talking about, but it does give an alternative to watching WWE or TNA. Like, all right, watch MMA, watch UFC.
Well, and see, that was the thing. When WWE started getting into a downspin, and I hated watching Cena come out to his horrible music and have...
Bam, 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 bam.
Exactly, and... When I started getting to that point, I was like, you know what, UFC, you might see a 15-minute flop, but there's that chance that you'll see Wanderlei Silva or Vanderlei Silva knock out Jardine, for example, in what, like 15 seconds?
Yeah.
You can't get that anywhere. I mean, that rush of excitement. And I hate to bring it up, but I mean, the Hua Henderson fight, that has been the only fight where I was actually on, because I was so into it, so emotionally invested into that, like, come on, Dan, especially that 5th round, because I thought Henderson was dead. I thought it was over because Hua just got on top of him and started plowing him, but he still, and thank God for I think it was Mazzagatti. No, it wasn't Mazzagatti. It was the big guy, but whoever the referee was, they let it go. Where other people would have stopped that in the 1st round, and Henderson would have won in the 1st round, which may have been better for his career, but whatever. I'm going off topic.
I'll say this. Honestly, the only MMA fight that I've watched in from start to finish is... was it Bobby Lashley fought that guy in... Was it 12 seconds?
That's not a very good representation.
I know that. I know that, but I heard that he beat him really quick. So I was like, I have to see this.
Yeah, but there are so many fights. Probably when that old era was ushered out, and I'm not sure if you would agree with this, Omega, was Chuck Liddell taking on Wanderlei Silva when Silva finally came to the UFC after his very successful Pride run. Mm-hmm. And that fight was kind of like, you kind of knew it watching it, that this is the end of an era, and there's going to be guys, because Silva at the time was, Anderson Silva, was just starting to become a major force. He just beat Henderson. He just, you know, maybe had the title for a few years at the time. But this was like the last of a guy that looked like he would be at the bar with you drinking a beer somehow stumbled into the cage. And that era of that type of athlete, Chuck Liddell, was going away, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There was a definite changing of the guard in the last, you know, 5-6 years ago. Where, to your point, where guys like Chuck Liddell, who kind of, your point, the everyman guys that kind of took up mixed martial arts later in life, were starting to get overtaken by guys who were martial artists, wrestlers, who worked at it for years from a very young age. That, you know, they were just more skilled, had more tools. The old ways were just not going to work anymore. And we've seen that to where we are now, where you have to be skilled, really skilled, to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't see guys. It kind of gets to the Mark Hunt, you know, where, you know, you don't see guys that, you know, with just that level of striking, you know, he's good, but I mean, is he elite level? Does he have all the tools? He really doesn't, and he gets pretty much stomped, you know.
Mm-hmm. No,
we definitely see that more and more. In some ways, it's actually worse off for the sport because the fights are now more technical.
True.
And there's less of a, you know, you really look for the mismatches when they do get those mismatched fights. Those actually turn out to be the more entertaining fights, because when you get guys who are really, really even, it's a really more of a chess match and may not be as exciting, and less chance for a knockout or a submission, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with that. And of course, the Ultimate Fighter, there is a coaching change. Of course, Ronda Rousey is still the coach, but there's a new one because Kat Sagano has been injured. Misha Tate takes, and I think this is better anyway, quite frankly, because these two girls, it's going to get a little catty.
It's probably going to make for better TV.
Oh, certainly.
So, you know, I get there. I've seen a lot of angst around the MMA circles. Well, Tate's coming off a loss. Why does she get the coaching benefit? Well, I mean, who else are you going to pick? I mean, let's face it. Even the only other person you could go down here, I was looking at the women's bantamweight rankings. You know, Kat Zingano's injured. You know, Sarah Kaufman really hasn't been introduced to the UFC yet. I mean, she's been in Strikeforce, so you could make that argument, but she lost to Rousey. She lost to Rousey pretty decisively, although Tate did as well. But you know, she's just not as good on a promo. She's not as good for TV. You think Sarah McMahon's probably still new? You probably want to keep her around as a second choice. I mean, And then you start going down the list. You know, Liz Carmouche just lost to Rousey. And then you start getting into people who are either haven't been introduced to the UFC audience yet, or are on the Ultimate Fighter themselves, you know?
Yeah.
We're probably contestants on the Ultimate Fighter. So I think it makes sense for Tate to step in here. Yes, she's coming off a loss. The women's bantamweight division in the UFC is still developing. It's the most marketable fight you got available. It's the most marketable TV you got available. From a business standpoint, it makes sense. And Misha is let's face it, Misha lasted longest with Rousey thus far.
Oh yeah.
Her
the other fight with Rousey, the other girl.
Carmouche?
Yeah, Carmouche lasted a pretty.
I guess Carmouche was probably longer. And Carmouche probably came closer.
Almost pulled it off. That would have been great.
She almost pulled it off, but
it's not horseshoes, Omega.
Yeah, it's not. You win or you lose, and unfortunately to date it's been Rousey by armbar first round. making Tate's going to be the more marketable fight. She's the more photogenic, for lack of a better term.
Well, Kat's a very attractive young lady.
Yeah, but I don't know that Kat can talk as much trash as...
Oh, certainly not.
You know?
Certainly not. Tate is very good there. Last thing I wanted to bring up was Fallon Fox, of course, winning her fight on Friday, moving on in the tournament for the women's title at that promotion down in Florida. Did you have a chance to see it?
I haven't seen it, but from what I hear, she didn't do herself any favors because she was basically muscling her opponent around.
Well, yeah.
Three rounds.
Yeah, and she won by submission. So we got to see her submission skills.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like I said, I haven't seen the fight. I just know that a more competitive fight would probably have been better off for her.
I'm hoping one day we'll get to see Rousey and Fox.
Well, Rousey doesn't want to fight Fox.
Hey, you throw enough money somebody's way, you'll be amazed at what people would do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I don't know. I mean, we had the lengthy conversation about whether or not Fox has advantages. I think it's fine.
Inconclusive. You know, inconclusive, to say the least.
Sure. I mean, we have weight classes, so that's fine. The evidence is inconclusive whether or not she has an advantage or not. I'm okay with it. I mean, whatever. I said I was okay with it before. I'm still okay with it. There's nothing that I heard about the fight that leads me to believe that that should change. I think that I think the way the fight went down, from what I hear, just didn't do anything to dissuade someone who was already against it.
Certainly. Now, I would say I want to get back to the Curtis Axel conversation because we never really completed that. The push for Curtis Axel, Dan, you take it away. We were hearing from Omega, then we kind of got off onto something else. So what do you?
No, I like the idea that I certainly think he deserves a push. If not for the legacy of his father and third generation at this point, but because I do think he has it in him, personally, from what I've seen in the past. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, not often, but I could be wrong before. Wait, what? I just screwed that up. Nope. I've been wrong before is my point, but I really think that if you keep continuing to put him...
I love you, Dan.
I don't, so I love you, too. If you keep continuing to put him in matches where there's not going to be a friggin' finish or a clean finish, then you're not going to be able to build him on anything. You're just going to... You're going to kill it. And everybody was joking, sending those... enjoy that drink. Sending those memes around where, you know, Curtis Axel 2013, just because he got smacked in the face. I think they still have time to turn it around if they change how they're booking this.
But
I'll go on record and say I love the name. I did not like the fact that they took away the remixed Perfect theme.
I agree. I was so
I was looking
kicked
forward
off.
To it. I was like, the hell is this?
What? Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Come
dumb.
On.
Dumb. Go ahead.
I was. Yeah. No, I mean, I think I agree. I mean, I think why do you come out and book him like that? You know, it just don't get it. What purpose does it serve? It just makes him seem weak, and then people stop caring. I mean, last week it was who's the new Paul Heyman guy? Who's the new Paul Heyman guy? It was kind of built up pretty well. And then he comes out, and then he just kind of sort of wins versus Triple H. And then he just kind of sort of wins over John Cena.
Well,
okay. Why do I care about you now? I'm a big fan of coming out, especially a heel, coming out and destroying somebody.
Yeah, it seems like a simple formula.
It's a very basic formula. That's the way you should introduce a heel. But the thing with WWE, probably for the past 5-6 years, is that they consistently do not know how to build up the mid-card. And you go from a guy that was Michael McGillicuddy, you stuck him in Nexus, I think it was, give him a tag partner that they didn't mesh well, and then you have this. And you want people to care. It's like Paul Roma joining the Four Horsemen. Why should we get behind Curtis Axel?
No, you're right.
Anyone?
Absolutely right.
Well, I mean, they certainly haven't given us a reason to.
Yeah, I don't have an answer.
I mean, that's, I mean,
I want your reason.
I want to. I want him to be good like his father. But you got to give me a reason. You got to help me out a little bit. Meet me halfway, you know?
Now, conversely, though, they have done a great job building up the Shield. I just wish they would wrestle in gear by now. Wrestle in gear.
Why?
I hate seeing people dressed up like that. It just annoys me.
I like it.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. I think it's fine.
Shut up.
I think, honestly, I think wrestling gear is kind of outdated.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up, Chris.
What do you mean it's outdated?
I mean, we've been tights and boots for centuries.
Ever?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is it that big a deal? Now, I'm not saying go John Cena with, you know, denim shorts and a friggin' t-shirt. That's not what I'm saying, but... But, you know, I don't know. I just think some freshening up would be beneficial. I'm not saying there's not a place for it. I'm just saying.
While I don't agree with whatever the heck Chris is trying to say, No, they're independent. They're not part of the company technically, right? Don't give them tights yet.
Eh, I want tights. Tired of
them. That worries me.
I don't know why, but anyway, I just don't like the look with the fucking thing on. You know, come on.
Well, just remember when you edit this, it's your fault.
Well, that time it was. But I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
I get what you're saying.
You nosy kids.
You know, cry me a river, will you?
Oh, Omega, where can they find you?
They can find me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
You're so enthusiastic.
You can Dan, how about yourself?
You can find me at Dan3.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. I'm not happy with this decision by Don Warren.
Hey, at least you didn't get fired yet.
Send your tweets to at Donnie Warren because on Twitter, because I think this is a horrible decision. Horrible decision.
So you're just not happy tonight, is what you're telling me.
No, not really. Not really. You can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. Follow the official Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com, HIAC Talk Radio.
Remember, there might be a lot of posers out there, but we're the only real ones.
There's iTunes, there's Stitcher Radio, there's plenty of ways to listen to it. Until next week. And Dan.
Yes, sir.
You know what's coming up next week?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
It has been too long.
It's
going to
be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh?
Now we're talking. It's the French interruption coming up next week. And happy birthday to Monsieur Oulala as he is celebrating his birthday.
What is he, 68?
No. Stop it, Dan.
Well, I'm kidding.
But
It's only 20 in French.
It is the return of the French Interruption next week. It's the 7th installment, if you can believe that. It's been a while since we had them on. There's been reasons.
We have a contract written out and binding. It'll be no problem.
But I can't wait to catch up with Monsieur Ooh-la-la. He is...
I'm going to ask him tough questions, too.
Oh, the last time you asked.
They're doing it.
Are you for real?
Are you for real?
Oh, that was a great moment in Hell in a Cell history. But
the answer to this question is probably not.
And also, we are going to have an interview with the director of Barbed Wired City, John Phyllis Pavage? I'm going to have to get a...
Spencer Jones.
Yeah, I'll just call him John the whole time.
What's up, pal, bud?
Exactly. So that is coming up next week. Very excited about that interview with Barbed Wire City. I, unlike a lot of the reviews, was a bit critical. I thought they should have concentrated a little bit more on the beginnings.
Mr. Goodhart?
Well, yeah, the godfather of hardcore, of course, Joel Goodhart.
What is it? We brawled. What is this saying thing?
Good job putting me on the spot.
We wrestled.
Shut up. We wrestled, we brawled, we did it all.
That's it.
Yes.
Tell those people to shut up near you.
They're driving around, they're having a good time, Dan. Let it go.
It's a week night.
Let it go. And I think this is a very good outro, because I feel like I'm stuck in the middle with you, Dan.
Joe Egan and Jerry Rafferty were a duo known as Steeler's Wheel when they recorded this Dylan-esque pop bubblegum favorite from April of 1974. That reached up to number 5 as K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues.